We're going to go to 1 Samuel 4. We'll start with verse 1 through 6. If you would please stand for the reading of the word when you are ready. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched an Abbot. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew up the army in the field, about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hands of our enemy." So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelt between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. When the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to their camp. Skip down to verse 10. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man to his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of the God was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. I want to preach to you this morning the message titled, "When God Shows Up." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the presence that is in this house. Your holy presence is what we seek. When we pray, God, when we praise, when we seek you with our whole heart, God, you will show up. And knowing that, God, when you show up, everything else shall fall. God, we're asking, Lord, that you move in this place, God, as I yield myself unto you, God, that I'm helpless without your presence. I'm helpless without your word speaking, without your anointing, God, that will pierce the hearts of each and every one that's above my voice, God, that they would hear the word of the Lord, God, that it would come forth, not only in this house, but when they leave this house, God, that the word will go with them. God, we know that word will not return void, and God, we're having freedom in this house. We give you the glory and the praise for it, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
May you be seated. When you think about the presence of the Lord, what does that mean to you? Oftentimes we hear it, you've been in the church very long, it's part of what we call Christianese. A lot of times we talk about the presence of the Lord in lots of different ways, but if you could place a value on being in the presence of the Lord, how high of a value would it have in your life? That's something we don't always think about, but what value is the presence of the Lord? We just had a wonderful worship service. The Spirit of God was moving in this house. Moving some to the altars, moving those to praise, moving some to actually open their mouths and praise the Lord God Almighty. Yes. But what value do we put on it? Because of how we are as humans, it seems like to seek his presence more when we are in big trouble than we do at any other time. Can I say amen?
Amen.
I think whenever we're in big trouble, we're looking for the presence of the Lord. I think we can say that is the truth. But if the value of his presence is high, as he would like to say it is to us, then why does trouble make us believe that we need him more than we do any other day? And I'm going to turn the TV on right now. Why is that? So as we think about these things, why is it more important to seek the presence of God when we're in deep trouble or we're having difficulties in life than it is when we're not? Why is it that we do that? Why does trouble make us seek him more? The truth makes you free if you choose it. We find the passage that we read of the battle and their defeat of Israel, so we have to ask the question, how did this come about? What was the reasoning of it? When we look back, we see Eli, the priest, was getting cold, old, and perhaps lazy. He had heard of all the evil that his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, was doing, and the result was that the people were falling their lead. Two fallen prophets, I guess you would say. Eli tells the sons, Do I hear a good report of you? I don't hear a good report of you. Excuse me. You are causing the people to transgress. He knew the truth, but he did nothing to change it. How often does that happen in God's people? They know the truth, but do nothing to change it. Eli was allowing his sons to lead people astray and to sin openly in the temple. The cause and effect of disobedience was that Eli, the high priest, no longer heard God's voice, and the effect became defeat. No longer was he able to hear the voice of the Lord, and therefore defeat followed. Do you see how it worked? When you no longer hear the voice of the Lord, defeat is imminent. It will come forth. Anytime that you are not seeking after the presence of God, you will not hear his voice, and defeat will come. God determined that Eli's house was going to be destroyed because of their lack of following his laws. Eli could have repented. He could have moved his son out of the temple. Eli knew that the truth was, but he did not choose it. And the people began to walk in him in sin and began to disobey the laws of God because of the way they were being led. This is the effect of no relationship with God. They didn't seek after the presence of God, and their enemy had been able to come in and kill them. The elders didn't understand why the Philistines had been able to defeat them. Oftentimes, we, as called as Christians, we wonder why we've been defeated by these things that continue to fire at us each and every day. We wonder, how am I defeated by this thing, this flesh, this thing we call the lust of the flesh that draws each and every one of us away, whatever it may be? Why does it continue to happen? Why do we allow that in that very thought? But we just read how it works. So we're going to get a little bit deeper than that. They didn't seek after the presence of God. Their enemy had been able to come in and kill. They were victorious before, I'm sure, going to battle, touting all their past victories, but forgetting God. And then they remembered the ark, and they said, let's go get it. Let's go get the ark. They had the presence of God all around them, but not in them.
Right. Yeah.
You can be all around the presence of God, but if he is not in you, you're defeated just like the Israelites. It's the same concept of having truth in your hands, but doing nothing with it, as Eli did. And when the ark came back into the camp, the people shouted, and they shouted loudly. The Philistines heard a shout so loud that the Bible says the earth rang. No doubt, the Philistines sent spies to see why the earth was ringing out with shouts of Israel. They found out that the Ark of the Covenant had come back into Israel's camp. So, when we come to church, does the enemy start to double down and say, I'm going to defeat you? Think about that. As the Philistines, as we know us in the Bible, dictates flesh, every time it's time to go pray or read the Bible or spend time in God's presence, does he double down? Does he try to affect your life? No doubt. We understand that someone passing by would have thought that some great victory was really going on in the camp of Israel. This would have been considered a really great church service. Amen? And many would think that, by the way, we shouted that, we really trusted God, that we already had the victory.
Right.
But in reality, all those noise meant nothing because it was not grounded in truth.
That's right.
The truth will set you free, but you do have to choose it.
Yes.
Yes. Israel brought what they thought was the winning factor into their camp, the ark. After all, the past showed victories when the ark was present. Mm-hmm. What Israel did not know was the God of the Ark of the Covenant. God had made a covenant with them and an agreement. A covenant like when we enter into marriage, which is a promise and a commitment that is binding. We commit to love for the better or worse, in sickness and health, till death do us part. To God, his covenant is a sacred agreement on which he sets specific conditions on which will bless his children and keep them. Exodus 23, 22, and 23 says this, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thy enemies, and an adversary unto thy adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites and all the otherites, and I will cut them off. Verse 32 and 33 says this, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it surely will be a snare unto thee. Israel broke the covenant, as we do, by not seeking him and following his law, falling after the things of the world. Today is a very popular day for many things in the world. Many will want to watch the big game tonight, have focused upon what's going on, been planning it all week long. But I challenge you, have we prepared all week long for the presence of God?
Right.
Have we been seeking him? I'm not beating you down. As a church, I love you with all of my heart. I seek and I pray and I lift you up all week long. But I am looking for the presence of God. This is a world that is falling and failing. But here we are, the church of the living God. If we're not seeking his presence, whom are we seeking? If we're not here for that very purpose, to be united and one, together we are with God. Together we see the presence of God falls in the house when we worship and God moves in the place. When we seek God with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of his truth comes forth to us, then we may be able to overcome what the world tries to fire at us. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, and ye shall seek me and find me. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Not in the world can you seek all the days of your life seeking what the world would say is worth something. And find your worth in what the world says will always be a fleeting thing, because tomorrow will be something different. Yeah. If you've been around for a minute, you notice how all the clothing styles have changed.
Yes.
When I was in high school, it was the mullet. Have mercy. Have mercy. I wore it a little bit too long, I'm going to be honest. Today, that has come back. Lord, help us. I look back at the pictures and I'm horrified. I'm like, how can you fix that? How can you fix that? Have mercy. Styles come and go, and the world tries to dictate everything that we do. You see everything every so many decades is going to come back around, because the world's always looking for something, but they're not looking for the one truth. The world is looking for something else to fill the void that only God can fill. These things are what the Israelites were looking for. They had their presence all around them, but they didn't have the presence in them. So let Dagon fall. Israel just wanted an easy victory. And they thought the ark would do it. They worshiped the victory. The ark betrayed instead of the God of the ark. Jehovah is our victory.
Yes.
We see the certain defeat of Israel's as we see in our own lives, because he didn't take the presence of God into our bosom. If we break our covenant with God, then certain defeat is coming to us as well. What covenant have we made with him? I believe the word says that we're to live as a living sacrifice unto him.
That's right.
Holy unto him.
Yes.
As a holy priesthood. Chosen people. The covenant is a blood. None like any other. None like the Old Testament, that the blood sacrifices push sin just back. But a perfect blood that washes away all sin. As we then believe, the covenant that cannot be broken unless we choose to break it. The word tells us that nor man, nor Satan, nor any other can pluck us from the hand of God, but you can. By our choices, we can choose to move out of God's covenant. As the Israelites did here, they chose not to be in the covenant with God. They ran after other gods. They ran after the world. They ran after what they thought was important. They saw what was going on the other side of the fence and said, that grass is greener. Let's go ahead and get some of that grass. It looks like they're having a good time.
Right. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
That's good.
So the enemy, the Philistines, broke in and took the Ark of the Covenant. God allowed this defeat to show that the covenant of his people that were keeping with him was broken. The Ark of the Covenant was taken into the temple of Dagon. And when Philistines arose early in the day, found Dagon falling on his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. Luke 19:40 tells us this. If these should hold their peace, these stones will immediately cry out, the stone cried out in the presence of the one true God that day. That idol fell before a rock and stone before a holy God. That rock was praising when the Israelites were not praising. That rock of an idol knew who God was, but the one of the chosen people didn't choose to worship the one true God, the only one that they made a covenant with, but they had broken. But that stone that was deaf and dumb fell before obstacles to the Lord God Almighty. But when God shows up, Dagon will fall. When God shows up, idolatry cannot stand in his place. But the flesh will always try again. The flesh will always try to stand itself up in your life again.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah? Yeah.
Yes, it will. Come on, brother.
It's called testing.
Yep.
There's no testimony without testing.
That's right.
But in that, in the beautiful, infinite, internal God, as we as people of God walking in his presence, walking with him, when we overcome that test that becomes a testimony, then therefore the brother or sister we need to speak to that is fighting the same battle that you overcome shall be encouraged.
Yes.
There is a purpose in the testing. It's not only for us to grow stronger in him and that trust bond.
Yeah.
Because it is about trust. Because if we don't trust in him, whom do we trust in? God is not a man he can lie. So the one truth that we read in this word is the only truth.
That's right. Amen.
Yes.
The Philistines came and set Dagon back in his place a second time. The next morning, Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord again. His head and his hands were cut off, is what the word says. Only the stuff of Dagon was left. God can take away the flesh by ruling your life. If you let Dagon fall and stay in place, being submitted to the God of the covenant.
Yes.
Only by the fact that we are allowing the flesh to fall to an almighty God in the covenant we have made with him, then therefore the flesh will stay where it's supposed to stay. Dagon was an idol that had a mouth but could not speak. People live as if that idol God had a voice. But when God showed up, that false voice had to fall to the ground. There are things in our lives that present themselves as having power or mouth to speak, like fight, fear. Fear will present as having a loud voice, but when it comes in contact with the presence of God, it is cast out. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but perfect love. The presence of God casts out fear. God's presence will always overcome the flesh, but we can't go back and allow the flesh to be set back up again. There's in the battle in itself, we know that it will challenge us yet again, even maybe tomorrow, or maybe as the word tells us, he'll wait. Our enemy will wait until we're weakest or tiredest. But then he'll come say, hey, let's go ahead and set this up again.
Yeah.
You're tired.
Yeah.
It's okay. They'll understand. It's going to be all right. It'll give you comfort.
But it don't.
Amen. Amen. It does not.
That's right.
Do you cry out to God and defeat at the altar, but never get peace and victory in your life? Does your flesh put Dagon back up in your life, keeping you from complete freedom and victory? Time and time again, coming to the Lord for victory, only to fall to defeat again and fall to frustration of not gaining total victory. The enemy's going to work on every side of that passage. When you fail, he's going to say you fail big. And then when you fail, he's going to want you to condemn yourself because you failed, because you stumbled, because whatever it may be, then I'm going to try to beat you down until you will stop.
Come on.
Every fiery dart is coming to your mind because of one purpose, against your salvation.
Amen.
The covenant of the Lord is salvation because everything the enemy fires at is against your salvation. It has one purpose, is to choose you, to pull you away the one true God. That is the purpose. Don't kid yourself. He come to steal, kill, and destroy. It's more than just something we say. He come to steal that word. To kill the God in you.
That's right.
and destroy
truth.
Every aspect
yeah, truth.
Of your life. Mm-hmm. Because when the truth is taken out, what's left? Man's left to his own devices.
That's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me.
That's right.
So we must allow Dagon to fall. Submitted.
Yes.
When God shows up in our walk with Christ, we must learn all the time how to persevere towards God. When so many other things in our life are pressing on us, digging in, pushing towards the prize, knowing Him. Acts 3 and 19 says this, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. In order so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. There's nothing more refreshing than the presence of the Lord. The sweet presence of the Lord, just soaking and basking in His presence. Why do you think it's so hard to get there? Why do you think it's the enemy wants us to stay home and watch it on TV? How many times do you sit on your couch and get the presence of the Lord? Come on. But in this house, regularly, every time we come together united, the voice of the church rings heaven.
Amen.
Together in unity.
Yes.
There is a purpose in it. We should fall into each and every time there's a service opportunity to come in and worship God, to be in His presence. Can you do it driving down the road? Absolutely you can.
Yeah.
Yes. Come on. Come on.
But you do it in the car, you do it at home because you did it together in unity with your church family. Because in this family, there is truth. There's a purpose. And you have a purpose in this family.
Yes, amen.
When you're not here, you're missed. There is a voice that's not being heard in this family together. There is a purpose for each and every person that's here. It's not just a warm-up pew.
That's right. Come on.
But it's a purpose.
Yes.
We're here to worship God.
Yes.
We're here to do it together. Because
yes.
We're His family.
Come on. Come on, Jason.
There is truly nothing more refreshing. Life is going to work at keeping you from truly knowing the presence of the Lord. But if His presence is what you really want, you will continue to seek and to make sure that there is no Dagon being set up. When God shows up, His anointing breaks the yoke. When God shows up, the presence ignites the faith in you. Amen?
Yes.
During this time, there's faith that's coming forth, knowing that a holy God is going to meet them on the altar. Whenever we see the presence of God, things start to break in the atmospheres that we think are happening. Things start to fade away in our mind about tomorrow, what we've got to worry about. Things start to fade of what's important, what we think we hold in our body as sickness. Things tend to fade that we're concerned about those that are lost loved ones. Amen? We come because we seek God, but He meets us by His presence.
Yes, amen.
Therefore, we also know there's answers in His presence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When God shows up, He restores your soul. He will lead you in the paths of righteousness. When God shows up, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When God shows up, He anoints my head with oil. His goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life because of spending time in His presence.
Yes, amen.
No matter what the mountain is, it falls to a mighty God. When God shows up, it tells us in Psalms 97:5, the hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Every hill, every mountain in the presence of the Lord is no longer because of God. If you want to stand tall, you have to dig deep. When building the Empire State Building, which stands 1,454 feet tall, the foundation of that building had to be dug 55 feet deep for the building to be able to stand.
That's right.
When you're building, the first thing you do is survey the land, and then you dig. Depending on how high you want to build is how far you got to dig.
Right.
We must seek to be in the presence, in His presence. That relationship with Him, to know being recognized, react, inquire, seek, walk in the presence of God.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What does that look like? React. Oftentimes, we've seen people sitting in the pews and God's moving, the presence is moving, and you can see their legs moving like they want to run.
Yeah.
You know the runners we talk about in the Holy Ghost churches? You see, the other ones want to dance.
Yeah.
You some just want to raise their hands and praise God. And then you see some just wiggle a little bit. Because the presence of God is all over them. Reacting to the presence of God. But oftentimes in the world, how do we react to things of the world? Whenever music is played around my children, they react. One has rhythm, the other one doesn't. You can figure that out on your own.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're in a restaurant.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're walking through Walmart. One's going to start jerking. It's going to start, and with the beat, reacting to what he hears. Do we react what God is speaking?
Come on. Think about it.
God's speaking.
Yeah.
But he speaks in his presence. When we seek him with our whole heart, and we know we have covenant with him, which is a covenant of blood that cannot be broken.
That's right.
Satan can't cross that line, but we can allow him in.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. Truth.
Truth. That's what the word said?
Truth.
In this, James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. I don't think that means humble yourself so that you can have a place of prominence. To me, it means humble yourself, dig deep, and God will help you stand tall.
Yeah.
When we dig deep in the presence of God, we spend that time and build up our most holy faith. By reading the word, praying, staying in that presence, and soaking up that presence, we're empowered. That was the purpose of the church, as we see right now. As we come together, we know that two or three agree, he's amongst us.
That's right.
All right?
That's right.
But all the more, when we have a united body of Christ, how much more power would work through the people of God by coming together, united for one purpose. I know we all come into this house and we're dragging something up in this house.
Come on. Come on.
Right?
Glad we're here.
There's some in this house, and God's been dealing with me since yesterday, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. Offense. As the day approaches, there'll be more offenses, but it's in the church. The world is offended, but now the world is offended against the church.
They are.
Yeah. Where once the church was reverenced, at one time the world looked at the church with respect.
For help. Yep.
But that's no longer.
Yep.
But now in the house of the living God, we are offended on a regular basis. Yesterday, I was sitting there, and I was working in my truck, and I needed to clean it out because I could probably put hogs in it, raise hogs in it, because it could be clean really bad. Throw a little water in there, and I got slop. So I was cleaning it out, and I like to do that when I'm starting to think about the sermon or what God wants to speak. So I'm sitting here staying busy doing this because it needed to be done, and God's dealing with me. And I was thinking about this letter I got in the mail the other day. The mail said in the POA in our subdivision said, your dog's barking too much. You were in my class on Wednesday night, you heard. But my dog was barking, and it's basically offending your neighbors.
Yeah.
It was a nice letter, don't get me wrong. But so I sat there and I dealt with it. I was sitting there cleaning, and I was sitting there and I was thinking. And then the Holy Ghost came up. And he said, if you have aught against your brother, leave that gift at the altar and go fix it.
That's his.
That's it.
So I shut my door. I walked over to my neighbor's house, face to face, rang the doorbell, To my dismay, nobody came to the door. So I went to the next neighbor, the president of POA, and I said, hey, and I heard the voices in there. It says, I didn't think they wanted to come to the door. they sent the letters that I want to face you, face. So I heard the wife say, said, it's that guy's got the dog that barks. And I stood there and I stand at the door. I said, I really want to walk away from right now. But I'm going to stand firm on what your word tells me, and I will not be offended.
That's right.
So I'll sit there. Now he comes out, and he doesn't want to look at me in the eye, nothing. So he's looking at the trees and the ground and everything else. I'm like, how's the birds up there? So and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, it's like, this guy's nervous.
Yeah.
I said, look. I said, man, I want to apologize. I want to apologize that my dog is wreaking havoc in this neighborhood. I want to apologize, and I've tried to apologize to my neighbors, and I did talk to the other one after that, that it's just, I can't control that dog.
Nope.
I've done everything in the world, believe me. And the dog's not bad, that's not what I'm saying. But in that neighborhood, they felt like the dog was barking too much.
I'll take your dog.
Praise the Lord. Let's talk. Because I talked to him and I said, here's what we're going to do.
I'm sorry, Dana.
My friend. I said, I'm going to give away my dog. He said, oh, what grace. How gracious that is. And I said, amen. But it's not about me.
Yeah.
It's about whom I serve.
That's
I could be offended.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm talking to someone in this house today because y'all can deal with this yesterday. I don't think there's just a chance that I had to deal with it too. Since Wednesday, it come and go, like things ebb and flow. But I stood there in front of that man and I said, you know what? I'm going to do this because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
I'm going to do this because I don't want to be that guy. I'm not that neighbor.
Amen.
And I do care. It doesn't matter if I'm in the right or not.
Right, right. That's it.
That's really the right thing.
Yep. That's
when cool. I walked away, all he could do was say, thank you.
Right. That's it.
I don't know what else to say.
Yep.
Done. Yep. I walked over to my other neighbor's house and talked to him as well. He said, if that ain't me, I'd come talk to you face to face. I said, amen, brother. I'll talk to you face to face. That's what it's about. But I'm telling you, we allow offense to take a place as Dagon, the flesh we like to do. In a world that's offended by everything the church stands for, we cannot allow that offense to stand in the church. Amongst our brothers or sisters.
Yes.
Now here in church, God will move if we allow him to move.
Right.
But you can choose who you set up in your life and who you put down.
Right.
If you're in the presence of God, Dagon will fall. But as long as you're in the presence of God, it will still stay in a fallen state. But as soon as you get out of that place and you decide that you've got it from here, just a matter of time.
That's right.
It'll be erected. I could allow that to be in my life. I could allow that to be my Dagon, my flesh, standing up in me and being offended by the fact that they're telling me that a dog that was created to bark is barking. And that's what God created it. But I refuse to allow the enemy to take anything and stand up in my life over the word of God. I could choose that, or I could choose to not be offended.
Right. Yes.
Better man.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And all my team is wonderful. If you would please stand. If we could just know the importance of the presence of God, it's so much more than a weapon to know how to defeat the enemy. It is more than just in Jesus' name, Satan, get behind me. He is our strong tower of refuge.
That's right.
What does that mean to you? To me, when I am falling and failing in my flesh, I run to him. Because he is my refuge. When every fiery dart is more than I can stand, I fall on my face knowing that he will be my refuge.
Yes.
What is he to us? He is the destroyer, the enemy of my soul. He is still so much more than that. Oftentimes we like to utilize God how we want to use him, but God's way is more than that.
Oh, yes.
It's a covenant of blood that nothing in this world can cross unless we allow it. Will you let Dagon fall? Will you allow the flesh to fall, whatever it may be? Oftentimes we don't think about what that may be. But if it's in here, eventually it comes.